Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE SmackDown Live.
All right, Mike. So a couple things that I want to make sure we get to on tonight's show. I don't think this was a strong SmackDown, but I'll start with this. Should a lumberjack match really be allowed to end the way that did tonight? After all the hype about, you know, throwing your opponents back in the ring and the lumberjacks on the outside and like the big, you know, Usos are going to be there to help out. Like I thought the whole thing at the end just kind of fizzled away and yeah, they have a cage match next week, but you know, WWE is not very good about having their cage matches stay in the cage anyway. So talk me down off the ledge on this one. I thought it was a bit of a dud to end the show tonight.
I won't be talking you down tonight, Zach.
Okay.
I feel like they preemptively tried to make good on things like these by having several clean finishes tonight on the other matches. And that gets them this get out of jail free card to have a lumberjack match of all things end in a schmoz like this. And when it does, of course, Zayn finds a way to just get away because the lumberjacks are too involved with one another to keep an eye on him. Pierce comes out to announce the cage match. And now all I'm thinking is, well, Sammy, how is he going to get out of the cage match? And like you said, it doesn't even take a conniving rat like Sammy for a cage match to break down and get outside of the cage. If part of the cage explodes or someone blows the door off or something like that, or somebody's got a key or who knows what, but they tread water a lot. And they did that tonight with a match. Is supposed to end things like this. Historically, that's the point. But now when you fast forward and bring the lumberjack match into WWE in 2022, it's just another baton passing to next week. And not even the lumberjack match can put an end to a mid-card feud.
I mean, oh boy. Yeah, I really felt that it made for, you know, an anticlimactic show that had some good stuff on it, but I wouldn't say that the show was very, very newsworthy. Like I think it had the potential to be coming in with the Charlotte and Ronda contract signing and, you know, Jey Uso versus Riddle, you know, what was going to happen with Roman Reigns. Like you had some pieces there to play with, but I don't think any of those segments ended up being like home runs. And then to cap it off with this, where it's like, okay, you know, like, look, even if you wanted to get to the cage match, I mean, you can come up with something better for a schmoz finish to a lumberjack match. I mean, like have it feel more like a brawl where it's like just uncontrollable violence everywhere. Lumberjacks, Drew, Sammy. I mean, that would have been better than Sammy just escaping. Like I feel like I could rant on this one forever. Not good. What is this doing, Mike, for Drew McIntyre? Like, is it tuning him up for Roman Reigns? Is it just a mid-card feud and that's where he is? Like where do you see Drew because of his involvement in this?
I mean, it's not great. It's a long shot from where he was a couple years ago, and I guess you have to ask yourself, is Sami Zayn stepping up to Drew's level and being brought up, elevated, or is Drew being pulled down to Sami Zayn's level, who his immense talents is basically kind of a joke mid-card act?
Yeah.
And between that, Sami's act, I mean, and Drew's love of his sword, neither of those things are great for him. It doesn't feel like an upward trajectory whenever he eventually finds a way to defeat Sami Zayn, you know, 6 months from now when they figure out a way to keep Zayn in the arena. So, no, I don't think it's great for Drew. Sami is good at whatever you ask him to do, but I don't know. It's, and especially if they keep weaseling out of things, it's, like I said, it feels like treading water. And once he can get his hands on Zayn, it should be, it feels like a foregone conclusion, right? That Drew should defeat him. Like, it's not right. Some great grudge match. They haven't made any effort to make Zayn look like a worthy opponent for him. It's like he just needs to beat him up and get it over with. But they're drawing that out so long for some reason. Somebody that nobody thinks could stand a chance against him anyway. So that's a right. long time to draw out something that's, you know, seems to have such an obvious ending.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you're spot on there. And because of that, like, look, you know, if you're Vince McMahon or you're Bruce Pritchard or somebody, you know, the writers, you're going, well, okay, we're going to put Drew in this feud and he's going to just, you know, win definitively whenever we get to it. And then we're going to move him on to Roman Reigns. And I think, you know, conceptually on a piece of paper that works and that makes sense. But, you know, what you end up having is a Drew McIntyre that's stagnant from now until whenever that is. And so, like, I get the idea of, hey, we want to feed somebody to Drew McIntyre. And that's fine. But there's a way to feed Drew McIntyre in a way that keeps him credible and doesn't, you know, it doesn't involve him in, like, the, you know, the Johnny Knoxville-esque Sami Zayn stuff. And I want to second what you said on Sami Zayn. Like, Sami Zayn is a valuable piece of WWE talent. Like, he does a lot of things well that Vince McMahon needs him to do. And he gets paid handsomely because of that. But that doesn't mean he's a credible threat. And if you want to make Drew a credible threat for Roman Reigns, like, it can't take him 6 weeks to finish off Sami Zayn. I just don't think he can keep any momentum as he goes along if that's what's in the plans here. And I looking at the list of challengers for Reigns, like, that's going to happen in 2022, maybe sooner than later. So I'm with you. I think Drew is kind of not floundering, but just stagnating and just in the same spot and will be in the same spot once this Zayn stuff wraps up.
And can you imagine Drew saying, at last, after 10 weeks, I've taken down Sami Zayn and now I'm going after the head of the table. Why? Why would that be right. the next step? you should have made short work of him. So, yeah, it's a weird, prolonged mismatch.
It very much is. Well, I'm sure we'll get to it more, and we have a lot of other stuff to talk about. I want to make sure to spend time on Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair and the tag team title situation with the Usos and RK-Bro. But let's pause real quick. We'll introduce callers here in a minute, and just let's just set the table. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show for April 22nd, covering WWE SmackDown on Fox. I'm PW Torch's assistant editor, Zach Haydorn. Wade is on assignment tonight, and he'll be on the VIP side of things a little bit later, running down the show. And you can check out his Wade Keller hotline every single day by going VIP and giving us a shot, pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. You can check out Wade's stuff, The Fix, and a multitude of other really good podcasts, as well as an ad-free version of the website, ad-free versions of these shows, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The archives, I mean, well worth the money, and we hope you give us a shot. It's pwtorch.com/govip. The other voice you hear with me tonight is that of Mike Myers from pwtorch.com. Mike, always good to talk to you, man.
At the Mike Show 42 on Twitter. Zach, thanks for having me back. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. As I'm sure everybody can tell, my voice is hanging on by a thread, so we will, as I told Mike in the pre-show meeting. We'll ride this thing until the voice cannot ride any longer. So if you're on hold and you don't get a chance to jump in, don't hold it against me, but you know, you'd be talking to nobody because my voice is going to go at any minute here. Mike, real quick before we get into some callers, run down all the great contributions you make to the Torch. You do some really great writing with some really great analysis week in, week out. Get your plugs in early.
Sure. I've got a couple of main assignments at pwtorch.com. Each week I write the report covering WWE's main event program. Main event is, of course, the Raw mid to lower card. There's two matches on every episode and a lot of recap of the last week's action. And I cover the two matches. If anything good or substandard happens, they tend to be pretty formulaic, but I like to point out when they get away from that formula, which actually happened this past week. So main event is there. And for each WWE premium live event, formerly known as pay-per-views, I write the report for the kickoff shows, which mercifully have been only an hour each, except for WrestleMania. But
that had to be taxing.
It was not good. it's kind of like covering a whole lot of nothing. But I don't know. They have some interesting exchanges, and Booker T is often good for some kind of crazy nonsense that I try to include. So, I cover the kickoff shows and the matches therein, if there are any matches. So, a main event and WWE kickoff shows.
Awesome. Anything of note happening on main event as outside of, like you said, a bit of a format change, but any talent that's shining on that show, a la Veer Mahan from a couple months ago?
Well, Veer is long gone. They eventually kept their promise and brought him to the main roster, and he's no longer main event, mm-hmm. which he was doing for a while. Although I was not particularly blown away by his main event matches. They were pretty samey and kind of a foreign menace act from years past. And we'll see how he does now that he's on top of the world. But Tommaso Ciampa has been having some main event matches, which are more interesting than not. So it's you check the reports. Some of them are worth checking out. And I describe when they're not. So the report's there for that reference.
Yep. PWTorch.com, usually Thursday or Friday every single week. So check that stuff out. All right. 347-215-8558 is the number. If you want to chat with us tonight, 347-215-8558, press 1 to let me know that you want to get on the air. And we will start things off tonight with 615. 615, state your name and where you're calling from tonight.
What's up, guys? Sean, VFT member from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. How you guys doing tonight? Zach, how you holding up, man?
Holding up, man. Holding up good. Great to talk to you as always. I'm making it through. The Bulls are down 30 though, so that's not so good.
Dude. I was just gonna say, Zach, you shouldn't have tweeted you were excited. I was excited going in, but just an embarrassing performance tonight. I mean, I don't understand what it is when it comes to big games. Like, they have improved tremendously this year. There's no doubt about that. They've got some star players. DeRozan's been good for them all year long. But to come in without Middleton and to be down by 30, it's just pathetic. Just absolutely pathetic for your first home game in 5 years in the playoffs. To just show that is just, I don't know. I don't know what to say about it.
I'm just going to leave it at that because you echoed my thoughts perfectly. What, on a better topic, or maybe a better topic, I don't know, what'd you think of SmackDown?
Yeah, Mike, good to talk to you too, man. I wanted to just go off on what you guys were saying on the Drew and Sammy stuff. Like, again, this is ridiculous, 3 weeks in a row. Like, when Adam Pearce comes out at the end, he needs to say, hey, Sammy, either get back in right now or you're suspended and you lose, or – Mm-hmm. Why didn't they just have a steel cage this week? I mean, why prolong this long? It's just so – it helps no one involved. It's just a dumb way to end another match. And, yeah, I mean, you guys ranted about it, but that's the last rant I wanted to have on it. It just makes no sense. It's stupid. Fourth week to go to a steel cage. And then somebody's going to probably interfere in that. So what good is that going to do for anybody in that match? So that's all I had to say about that. I wanted you to talk real quick about what you think. I feel like the show was just kind of blah, like you said. It was kind of eh. But as far as Gunther, I think they're doing a good job with a slow build on him. Now, I don't know, you know, why they had him lose to Braun. I know they lose on the way out, whatever crap that they do with NXT. Like, oh, they got to lose to go to the main roster. No, they don't, but whatever. He lost to Braun, but since – you know, these first couple weeks, I think they're just doing a good job of slowly building him up. I'm still worried they might do something to ruin it, but so far the first 2 weeks have been pretty good. What have you guys thought about the first couple weeks of his build?
So, yes, I agree with you. This is one of the, I think, one probably the high point of the show, for me anyway. I think the presentation's been very good, you know, and I don't know. I kind of... Yeah, he lost to Braun, but, you know, there's not a lot of people watching NXT 2.0, and I think at this point they are even more like two separate universes than they have been previously. So I'm okay with that, like doing the job on the way out. And then he's getting kind of a little bit of a new coat of paint on SmackDown, new colors, kind of a new role for whatever his name is, the Imperium guy who stands next to him. I'm okay with the NXT loss. But Mike, I think this has been a good introduction. Like it's not overproduced. It's not too cute. It's, you know, he gets a big introduction. He looks like a star because of that introduction. And then he delivers like a star in the ring with quick and dominant wins that lean into kind of the attributes that have made, you know, Walter, aka Gunther, like famous, right? Like the chops and the big moves and just the aggressiveness. And so I think they're hitting on all the right cylinders here. What's the ceiling? I don't know. But for right now, I give it a thumbs up. Mike, what about you?
I totally agree. I agree about the NXT thing. With what you just said, Zach, about the loss, I'll say doesn't matter because of that lack of crossover. Like, if you only watch SmackDown, you wouldn't know that he lost his last match on NXT to Bron Breakker. So hopefully they're probably banking on that. And I like him. He stands out among all the other talent on the roster. His look and his style and moveset are really unique. You could really compare him with Veer in that they're both big guys and they're both some variant of the Foreign Menace persona. But Gunther is way more interesting than Veer is. With Veer, it feels more put on. Like he was just asked to start doing this in recent history. And Gunther, it feels like this is his wrestling character. And I like the pairing. Ludwig Kaiser is the Imperium guy.
There
you were referencing. having him sort of announce him, it seems like he's going to be a sidekick of sorts. I'm not sure exactly what that's going to be, because they definitely seem focused on Gunther as a solo act with Kaiser rather than a tag team for the moment. I don't know. I like it. And like you said, they're doing things right to elevate him. They did a jobber match tonight on SmackDown. That's awesome. Like, I advocate for that sort of thing. So yeah, thumbs up.
Yeah, I do too. What's the ceiling, Mike, in WWE? Like, you know, he's a heel on SmackDown, so you have to deal with, obviously, right now anyway, Roman Reigns at the top. But, like, what's there for him to take, you know, as he continues on?
I mean, I feel like he could be a top heel on any show, a show where Roman Reigns is on. So I don't know. If Roman needs some time off in the future until that, I don't know. He could challenge for a secondary belt. Like, I kind of feel like the sky's the limit with him as a heel act, as long as they continue what they've done so far, and there hasn't been – there's not much evidence to go by so far on the on the main roster on SmackDown for Gunther. But if they do just how they've started, I think they can do whatever they want with him. And I think he's been proven, like, with the NXT UK brand, he's really good. And play the cards right and whatever they want. And, if Roman Reigns wants to step aside, take some time off, maybe he can be the top heel for 6 months or something. He could totally do that.
He can also be a guy that you establish on SmackDown and, like, just have him just win matches. Maybe you can build up Ricochet a little bit as Intercontinental Champion and then have, Gunther just squash him for that title. And then at that point, if you have him as an established guy, like coming out of SummerSlam, even if he's not the top guy on SmackDown, you can treat him that way though, and then move him over to Raw and he's ready to go for a babyface champion over there. If they split the belts again at some point, either Bobby Lashley or Cody Rhodes, perhaps. Like, I think he can be valuable as far as a piece that gets drafted to Raw later this year after they spend time building him up on SmackDown. All right, Sean, back to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really liking what I'm seeing from Gunther. Like in NXT he was great, and I really like his upside. I just pray to the Lord above that Vince does not ruin this guy, because I've just seen him ruin so many good people that have come up and wrestled for him. And I hope they do the right thing with him. So I'm excited to see what they do. The next thing I was going to bring up was going back to the Xavier Woods and Butch match. Like, I know they're portraying Butch as like this guy that's going to go crazy and you don't know what he's going to do and how he's going to react, but like him continuously losing to Xavier Woods, I just don't know where they're going with this. But like you said, it's just treading water. Like, I'm over Xavier. Yeah. I'm over Kofi. Yeah. I'm over all of them. I wish the New Day would just break up and do something different. I know they sell merchandise. I get all that. But it's just going nowhere. And Butch, again, Butch / Pete Dunne has so much talent. And him to just keep losing and just acting like a lunatic, I don't know. Where do you guys think it's going? Because it just so far doesn't make any sense to me.
Mike, what do you think?
I'm not sure that they had any long-term plan for Pete Dunne when they brought him up. I'd like to know what they thought when they made that decision. And if this was it. Like, what we're seeing might be the plan, start to finish, that he's just a loose cannon. And I've got mixed feelings about it. I don't – like, if you've seen the movie Casino, Joe Pesci's character is amazing. And he's, like, the physically the smallest guy in the movie, but he's the last one you want to mess with because he'll fly off the handle. But he's nuanced and has layers to his character. And Butch is more like the Tasmanian Devil or something from Looney Tunes. And, like, his big friends, Sheamus and Holland, struggle to contain him. And they, like, lift him off the ground with his feet kicking in the air like a toddler having a tantrum. And I think that's what WWE or Vince or somebody thinks is just funny. To see, look at mad little guy, and that's not nuanced or interesting. But I feel like that's probably their whole plan, because I don't think they're bringing him up here to go on to chase a championship. So
no.
And one other thing that I don't know if this is too nitpicky or what, but it kind of stood out to me that I don't know if his in-ring style, which he is, I think, sort of carrying over from NXT, doesn't really mesh with his new out-of-ring persona where he flies off the handle, just wants to kill everybody that's in front of him, because that seems like a crazed brawler. But then when the bell rings, he's doing all the small joint manipulation, and that's like a style switch. So I don't know if that's too small a thing to pick on, but it doesn't really gel for me.
I don't think it's a small thing to pick on at all. I mean, you have to, like, okay, well, look, like, he's not a priority character, but even still, like, you got to have consistency with how your character is and how that character wrestles in the ring. Like, you know, that's just, to me, that's common sense. That's like, you know, pro wrestling 101. Like, you have to have that consistency. And, like, for Butch, it's not going to matter because he's not a featured guy, not even close to being a featured guy. So, you know, I just feel like that won't get as much criticism as it probably deserves just because it's not as relevant. But I think that's totally something to look at. Yeah, I mean, I'm with both you guys. Like, this to me is just it is treading water. It's just kind of happening, and there's no real context around it. There's no real sense of urgency around it. It's just like weekly stuff is happening with those guys just to happen. And, like, I don't know. You never know what can happen with pro wrestling crowds. Like, eventually they may get a kick out of, like, you know, Butch storming off, and maybe he is this, like, you know, an R-Truth level babyface at some point. I think if you're Pete Dunne and you're looking at like possible scenarios, if that's you, unfortunately that's probably like the highest your ceiling's going to get in the role that he's in. And it's a shame to say, because the guy is talented and can play a more important role and a more impactful role, but not in this WWE. Sean, back to you, my friend.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I'm curious to see where they go, but it's just kind of, like I said, treading water. The last thing I was going to bring up was, I'll just bring it up. Let's go with the Charlotte Ronda contract signing again. Another contract signing. What a noble concept, WWE, a contract signing to get a match all ready to go. I don't know. I'm over them. It was kind of just, it was okay. You know, Ronda's not going to speak a lot right now, and that's probably good for her because she's not great on the mic and all that. Charlotte, to me, is just kind of okay. It's just kind of the same thing with her every week. Again, I just don't think – I want her to get that standout promo out there, and I know she's a heel, so you're never going to see a lot of that, but I want something more from her. I just feel like she's kind of just – she's there. But with the contract signing itself, it was short, which was good. But at the same time, the one thing I didn't understand was why Ronda would try to hurt Drew Gulak. Like, you're a babyface. He's just asking you to sign the contract, and you go and try to put him in an armbar. It's just like, it makes, you know, Drew, whatever they're doing with him, with the announcer thing and the interviewer thing, is just weird. I don't get any of that. I'm like, okay, that's interesting, but I don't know. But that didn't make any sense to me in the story of what they were trying to do there, other than Ronda try to hurt someone and make Charlotte a little more nervous. And I don't know. I just didn't really like it. I hope they do. And I wanted to know what you guys thought about the Beat the Clock challenge that they're scheduled to do next week. I've never liked that either. I don't know what that does to help either of them. So what do you think about all that in general, the signing itself and then next week's stuff?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up. I thought the same thing about Ronda and Drew Gulak. I was like sitting there going, like, boy, she's just being mean to that guy. Like, what did he ever do? He just wants you to sign the contract that you want to sign, so you have this opportunity at Charlotte Flair and the SmackDown Women's Championship. So yeah, I thought that was just not, like, it's kind of typical par for the course Ronda stuff, where it's like it's a bit tone deaf, where I think it's like people that are writing for her think, oh, it'll be hilarious and funny to, like, watch her beat up Drew Gulak. But it's like, you really, to pull that off as a babyface, you have to have the power of nuance on your side. And Ronda doesn't have that. She's not able to, like, convey nuanced emotions. She's not good at that. And she has to stay in her lane to be effective. And she just looked mean out there and not likable. And that was my ultimate issue with the segment in general. It's like, I'm sitting there like watching this and it's like, okay, I'll do the pros first. Like, there was a sense of star power in that ring, you know, when they started the show. Charlotte Flair, Ronda Rousey, two big names, you know, a big time match with a big time stipulation, championship on the line. Like, that worked, you know, even if it was in the contract signing, you know, world, which is overdone, obviously. I still think that their star power popped off the screen. But then they started talking, Mike, and both of them just seemed so unlikable. Like, it's like Charlotte kept chiming in with the "oh, I beat you at WrestleMania" thing, and Ronda kind of like was muttering stuff under her breath and just didn't really emote like somebody that you want to get behind. And so to me, there's just not a rooting interest for the audience at this point. It's like, yeah, it'll be fun to watch the two of them, you know, beat each other up and fight, but I don't get the sense at all that there's a groundswell of, hey, we really want Ronda Rousey to beat Charlotte Flair here. And, you know, to me, if, you know, Ronda's a top babyface on the show, that should be the type of momentum that you're trying to get, and it's nowhere to be found, Mike.
Well, you've both made compelling points against that segment, I think, but I will play devil's advocate a bit because I feel like I didn't mind it as much as either of you.
Okay.
And that's coming from somebody who would not be into contract signing segments or anything Charlotte or Ronda does. So I think the issue here, and maybe this is drawing to a, or pointing to a more macro problem, is that I had really low expectations for a contract signing with Flair. So let that be said. I thought Charlotte was good at being super annoying and antagonistic in the right way. I actually appreciated the beat you at WrestleMania because you know that her point is invalidated by the fact that she was tapping out during that match. But mm-hmm. She's so confident and smug and proud of herself, and she's just being louder. She's wrong, but she's being louder. And that's really irritating. That's, I thought, a good heel performance. The other thing, and again, similar to my expectations being low for this, when Rousey said, "You tapped out," and Flair said, "I beat you at WrestleMania," in that moment, I would have bet $100 that they were going to stand up and get in each other's faces going back and forth. "You tapped out. Beat you at WrestleMania. You tapped out. Beat you at WrestleMania." Mm-hmm. And they didn't do that. So they bucked what I thought was going to happen, like act like children, and they didn't do that. So I realize I'm arguing from a pretty low level here. Like, they didn't do as badly as I expected. So that's why I feel a little more positively about the outcome of the segment. Also, that's what I thought about Ronda and Charlotte. Regarding Drew, I think the way he's been treated this week and last week is super indicative of what the company thinks about him, at least at the main roster level, and that he's little more than a court jester. And in spite of the fact that he's done nothing wrong, if anything, he's performed his job admirably, with the exception of not delivering the contract to be signed in a timely fashion tonight. I think it's just supposed to be funny if somebody beats him up, especially if it's a woman beats him up. That's just a joke, even if it doesn't matter if it's the heel or the baby face. Just seeing Drew Gulak, who's, you know, 5'9", get beaten up is just a gag to laugh at, and that's it. So I think that's his function right now.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I think you make very valid points in regards to the contract signing itself. I think for me, I think you're right. In that regard, like, because Charlotte is the heel, so, like, she's supposed to get on your nerves, obnoxious, et cetera. I think, and Sean, jump in here and see if you're where I'm at with it. Like, it didn't land as well for me, even though it was well executed and it was obnoxious. I just don't think it landed because there wasn't, a baby face on her level in that ring that you're rooting for to like shut her up. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's happening. Like, and Charlotte is delivering a decent work on the microphone as a heel, but without that babyface balance, it's like, it's just kind of is happening and not impacting anything. And that's where I kind of lost it. Sean, take that and anything else you have before we jump to other callers.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, Zach, just as far as the – Mike, you're right. I think Charlotte, I guess, was a little better than I'm giving her credit for. Rhonda just doesn't have it on the microphone. She's just not a good talker as far as – especially from the babyface perspective. Like, if she's a heel talker, mm-hmm. then, yeah, she'd be great. And I think we'll see that, you know, next year when – Rhonda and Becky start eventually a feud. I think that'll be fantastic because I think at that time we'll see Becky in her role that she should be in and Rhonda in her role that she should be in. So I think it's going to be good. But right now, the quick question I was going to ask you, and then I'll get off. And I wanted to say first, Zach, I love what you and Tyler are doing on Fireside Chat and getting the YouTube channel back up. I'm really enjoying that. I got to catch up on this last one
Thanks,
that you guys
man.
Did, but so far it's been great. And what do you think about – Is it a foregone conclusion that Rhonda will win the title at WrestleMania Backlash, and then they'll go to maybe that's when Bayley comes back as a babyface, and she just goes after Charlotte, and they kind of do their thing there? Or do you think it's just, you know, Charlotte maintains it somehow, and then Rhonda goes? I don't know how Rhonda could go somewhere else without the title, but maybe that's it. So what do you think they'll do with that? And Mike, it's always good to talk to you, man. Appreciate you guys taking my call as always.
Yeah, Sean. Great stuff. Thanks for calling. Thanks for the kind words on the YouTube channel. Yeah, everybody out there, check it out. We've been putting up new content every day over there. So do us a favor, like, subscribe. It would help us out, and you know, enjoy all the stuff. Mike, so where are you at on how they book Charlotte versus Rhonda?
The thing is with feuds like these, I in the back of my head is always that somebody like Lesnar or somebody like Rousey isn't a full-timer. So I always think she's probably about to take off. She's about to take off, and therefore Charlotte will win, and I lean that way because of that. So if that's not right, if that weren't an issue, I would lean toward Rousey winning to get the proper victory back in a match type, the I Quit match, that she should be prepped to dominate. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know which way it's going to go beyond that. Those are just the things I think of, like how long is Rhonda going to be around for?
I'm pretty definitive in thinking that Rhonda's going to win this. I can't see a scenario in which Ronda Rousey says, "I quit," like on pay-per-view.
Yep.
I just cannot see that. I mean, and look, you can do some kind of shenanigan finish if you wanted to, but because of the stipulation that they gave this thing, like, I think Ronda, I'm pretty sure Ronda's gonna take the title, and then you have Charlotte kind of go off and do something else, and I don't know who you line up with for Rhonda after that, but I just can't see her saying I quit. Just, I don't know.
That's something that crossed my mind during the show tonight as well. And I'm really glad you mentioned it because I was kind of torn between, like, saying I quit is so off brand for Rousey that like behind the scenes, she might literally say to the story makers, "I'm not saying I quit," you know, whatever else needs to happen, but I'm not doing that. So that's a good point. And I the only other thing is she's not the biggest fan of professional wrestling, despite the money she's made from the business. So I don't know which is stronger. Like if she sees it as a big enough of a joke, maybe it wouldn't matter to her. But if her ego is big enough, it could always matter to say something like that on a big stage.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. We'll see. We got another week to go. The Beat the Clock, they did announce that. I'm not a fan of these either. I mean, it's an avenue to have each one of them, I don't know, have some sort of talking point, one-upsmanship on the other. My guess is we see some kind of Charlotte involvement in Ronda's match. Like, you know, it's big blow off. Like, Charlotte gets super physical with her next week, and then they go to the pay-per-view. So, you know, that's my guess, but, and that's really the only useful way to use that or the beat the clock stipulation. Where are you on that, Mike?
I'm not even entirely clear on what that means. A beat the clock chance. Are they each going to be trying to submit an opponent, and whoever does it fastest wins the beat the clock challenge?
Correct. I don't even know if it's submit. It's just beat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I would expect some interference, like,
yeah,
things to go, you know, off the rails up to their match for sure.
Yeah. I think so too. All right. Let's keep it going here on the phones. 443. You are up. Please state your name and where you're calling from tonight.
Hey, it's Kyle from Baltimore. How you doing?
Good, Kyle. How are you? Thanks for calling. What did you think of SmackDown?
I think watching this SmackDown, I was really thinking really hard, at least in the women's division, of how they are lacking credible baby faces on SmackDown, at least in the women's division, because I was watching. It really hit me when Becky was coming back on Monday. I was like, "Oh my God, a crowd!" And I think not only lacking incredible babyfaces, but I guess there's incredible names for Charlotte and for Ronda if she's going to win. Because it's like I watched this like scene. They just turned Xia Li for no reason. There's a reason they haven't been using her, so turning her heel could be a good thing, but that's not a baby face gone. There's Raquel who's making her debut next week, which is fine, but it'd be a little too early for her to be in that spot, I would think, but that again probably won't because of her size. They don't know how good she's in the ring. And there is Sasha and Naomi, but Sasha's stuck in a tag team, which I think is a stupid thing. And she should go after the championship. But so what do you think that the lack of credible baby faces for Charlotte or for Ronda or whatever, it's just because it's like I'm just watching this thinking to myself, where's the credible baby faces or credible names like there is on Raw, at least what I think about it. But what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's a problem. I mean, I think it's an issue, you know, especially because you have like two women who could be in that conversation as like, you know, upper mid-card babyfaces in Sasha and Naomi, like teamed up in the tag division. So they're out of it. And then Sasha is one of the biggest women stars that the WWE has. So her being tucked away over there really, really takes away from the babyface star power, Mike. I mean, you have Ronda, of course, who's in that position right now, even though it's hard to tell sometimes. But boy, I mean, after that, Mike, I mean, like, it's slim pickings.
Yeah. It does have a feeling of reinforcements are on the way in the return of Lacey Evans, who,
good point,
if I'm getting the subtle clues correct, she is coming in as a babyface. Aaliyah was on screen tonight. She's a babyface who just hangs around with wrestlers backstage. And Raquel Rodriguez, who may be the most promising, but
yeah,
none of those are in the on-deck circle, so to speak. So I totally agree with Kyle and with what you said, Zach, about Sasha Banks and Naomi. Like, they've got matching ring gear now, so forget about it. Like, they are locked into the tag division.
Yep.
While Sasha could be the biggest women's star in the whole company, and she's doing the tag division, which is a back burner division in this company. So Kyle is right.
Yeah, and you know, real quick on Raquel Rodriguez, like I hope she gets a debut on the main roster, like Gunther's getting, you know, where it's like, hey, we're going to frame her as a big deal right away, like right out of the gate. So there's no, you're not wondering, you know, she's not going to like climb the hill to the top. She's just going to be on the top. And I think that's okay, especially in this situation where, you know, you need babyface talent and babyface depth. So I hope that's the route they go with her. They're giving her some time, you know, and giving her she had a pretty good vignette tonight to hype her for next week. So I think it's a good way to put it, Mike. Like the reinforcements are on the way. It can't come soon enough for them, especially once Ronda Rousey gets that championship in a couple weeks. You know, Charlotte's going to need, you know, somebody in the middle of the card to work with. So, you know, maybe that is Raquel Rodriguez right out of the gate. That would be, you know, pretty impactful way to debut her, I think. So we'll see. But Kyle, yeah, I think you're on the money there. What else, man?
Yeah. And it's just from that, I just realized really, especially because when after really watching that Becky thing on tonight for her coming back on Raw, just surprised because she's coming back a little is it a little too early? I know Raw thing, but is it like a little too early for Becky to come back right now? Because I expected her to come back throughout the summer. What do you think about that real quick? I'll just give something else on from Samantha. What do you think about that?
Yeah,
we showed that
we can touch on that real quickly here, even though it's a little Raw thing, no problem. Yeah, Mike, I mean, I think she's in a bit of an awkward position. My guess is that because they're doing the Bianca Belair Sonya Deville match on Raw this week, that, you know, Becky's going to be back in the title picture for WrestleMania Backlash and do, you know, Bianca versus Becky again. That's my guess, and that's why she's coming back so soon.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It is a show of rematches,
right? Yep. So yeah, Kyle, yeah. I think that's why.
Okay. I thought it was a little longer, but okay, whatever. So I think what I would get to is with Roman Reigns. I mentioned this to way like 2 weeks ago or whatever about they first teased, you remember they teased the thing with him and Shinsuke and they have never went back to that. Why even bring that up? Why even do that? They weren't going to do anything with him. And what is Roman Reigns going to be doing at Backlash? He has no match at all. You just leave him off the show. I find that kind of odd. He wins both championships. He has no opponents. He's not really been on Raw since that one time. And him being a double champion is completely stupid. This is Becky Lynch all over again. People hated Becky with both championships. How do you feel about Roman Reigns? I think it's stupid. He has no one for him to face. So what's going on with that?
Yeah. Great topic, really great topic. So this is, Mike, check me on this, but I think this is the second week in a row that Roman Reigns has not been on SmackDown, like, proper in the ring, right?
Yeah, and I was going to say, admittedly, I don't know that he's in the arena or not even. You couldn't tell from watching the shows. That's
right.
What I think, yeah.
Right, yeah. And so, you know, I talked about this on the Fireside Chat YouTube show this week with Tyler Sage, and it's like I was very complimentary of WWE and how they framed that unification match at WrestleMania between Brock and Roman. I thought it was a really well-built match, multiple months, ups and downs, twists and turns. Like it was one of the better pieces of business that WWE has put together for WrestleMania in a long time, and it culminated with a big moment. Roman Reigns unifying the championships. And now, Mike, he's not on the show. Like he doesn't need to be wrestling on the show every week. But I think there has to be, like, a Roman Reigns presence. Like, that this unification of the world titles matter. And here's what he's going to do as that champion. And this is the line of opponents that are going to be waiting to take him on. And instead he's just truly not been on. And I don't know if that's because, like, you know, there's been some reporting and some not reporting that Roman's injured. That could play into this. And so they don't want to book him into something that he can't deliver on. That certainly could be there, but even if that's the case, I think that, you know, look, you unified your world titles. Like, that matters, and that should matter in a really big way. And I don't think he's been framed properly at all since that happened to him.
Yeah, maybe you could argue that they want to make this unified champion such a big deal, such a hot commodity that you can't get him on every show.
True.
Or even on every premium live event. And it's, you can't just come out and say that. There's no way to come out and say something like that, because it's basically saying, and we're going to cheat you out of the champion this next month. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you just kind of leave it be. I'm not even saying that's what's happening, but you could create or try to create more interest with a scarcity of Roman Reigns. And when he shows up and it's not every week or every month even, or maybe it's just skipping the pay-per-views, he's thinking, yeah, because you don't got nobody for me. And you can't put it that way, because it's kind of running down the roster, and there's issues with that, obviously. But the big question mark, though, is what Kyle mentioned with the Nakamura thing. Like, Nakamura's partner, Boogs, goes down hard with a bad injury, and then they introduce him to the Bloodline. They have the one interaction, and then it's gone abruptly. And far be it for me to not critique the company for foregoing long-term plans, but that was super abrupt how that happened and how it was removed. Like, next thing we know, yeah, Nakamura is a lumberjack tonight. Yeah. So,
well, that's what makes me think that there might be, like, some kind of health concern,
yeah,
at play,
yeah,
where it's like they don't, okay, they were going to go with it, and now they're not. And like, you know, it'll come out at some point as to what's going on. But I still think there's a way. And even if they are, like, trying to build up the unified champion as this very special thing, I think you, like, in the onset of that, you have to show him in that light, right? Somehow, whether it's some kind of just definitive promo or something. And so there's just, I don't know, there's just still something off. But it may be medical. And so, I mean, if that's the case, then you got to kind of analyze it with a different lens.
Well, they're in a tough spot then, if
yeah,
that is the case. And that does seem like a very distinct possibility with how abruptly they shifted paths and he just sort of vanished. And that's not good news with somebody who just ended, like you said, Zach, a heavy-duty storyline with an important ending with the unification of the belts, and then if he can't continue working off building off of that, then yeah, that's not good.
Right. Well, and then, like, you know, if there's also, like, you know, future, if there's future business on the table too, like, okay, if Rock is coming in, you know, and you want to do Roman on, like, a, you know, however, you know, 800-day title reign against Rock, like, you don't want to beat him just because he's, you know, not healthy. Like, that would be a real tough situation for them if that's actually what's happening.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you have any confidence in, let's say there is an injury with Reigns, and you have, like, a 90% confidence of when he can return by, maybe figure out a way to put something on the table down the line so that fans have something to look forward to instead of just scratching their heads, and pose some threat to Reigns, a big one. You said The Rock, that's about as big as it could get. And if it's The Rock, then awesome. But if it's somebody even lesser, have Reigns say, interesting, I need some time to think about that. And then he takes care of himself, you know, the kayfabe injury. But yeah, giving the fans something to think about or look forward to rather than speculate would be good. But who knows what uncertainty they're facing right now.
Yeah, yeah. Kyle, back to you. Any other any other final points for us tonight, man?
I guess my final point with the Reigns stuff is that, you know, people wanted him to be this top champ and all this other stuff, and that's all well and good, but at least there's not. This is, again, I always compare him to Becky Lynch. I've been doing that lately because I could definitely, like, I can take care. Is that he has been so they wanted to be this big time champion and undefeated, and he is that now. He's the double champion, but now it's not anyone credible for him to face even more. And so I don't know what they need to do, but they didn't really hurry up. But they had to do something really fast, because him not even showing up on TV or him going to both shows, is it helping SmackDown or Raw? So they really need to change that, and they need to change it quickly. But that's the initial call.
Thanks for making it, Kyle. Always good to hear from you, man. Appreciate it. All right, we'll go next to 814. State your name and where you're calling from.
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Hey, Ryan, always a blast to talk to you, man. What's your first question for us tonight?
My first question is, I know some of the callers are sort of down on Ronda Rousey's promo ability, so maybe the solution is maybe she turns heel and Paul Heyman becomes her mouthpiece and she becomes the first woman to be a Paul Heyman woman, I guess you could say.
Yeah, so that would be very intriguing, I think. If they can make it make sense, like with what Roman is doing with Roman Reigns, I think that would be a great pairing, you know, like in that scenario, Ronda's able to lean right into what she does best. Heyman fills a major blind spot for her on the microphone, and they haven't really done, like, there hasn't been that type of, you know, partnership before with Heyman and a woman on the roster. So, I don't know that I'd be for it right this second, because there's kind of in the middle of something with Roman Reigns. But if you can make that part of it make sense and not have Reigns lose anything, I think it would help Ronda immensely. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, that's the thing. If you were to just make that happen right now, it would be in conflict, I think, with Heyman's current role with Reigns and how subservient he is.
Right. Yeah.
And
yep.
You'd have to, like a flick of a switch, go from that sort of cowering behind Reigns to stepping up into the spotlight with a microphone and speaking for Rousey, which would be the whole point of her involvement with Heyman. So while I like the idea, and I even my first like impulsive thought was how cool it would be just to see the weird interaction of a faction of the Usos, Reigns, and Rousey in the room together with Heyman, and where could that go? You know, that's bonkers, and I'm here for bonkers things. But like I said, I think that would lead to a conflict of character for Heyman with how he would have to treat his two sort of top acts that he's working with.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, well said. And I agree. Ryan, back to you for your second question.
My second question is on the Usos. With Matt Riddle getting the better of them the last couple of weeks, I think it's the conclusion that the Usos are going to unify these titles. And the question is, do you think they're going to do the Roman Reigns gimmick once they unify these titles? And they say, the Usos have held these titles for 400 days. They've held them for 500. Then it gets to the point where they break that record that the New Day had and Demolition had one day, and this keeps on going.
You know, I think it's a possibility for sure. And I think, like, Mike, I think them winning the unified tag titles makes sense. Like they're around the most important act in the company. You know, where do they go if they lose that match? You know, like, and then plus, you know, they're a pretty historic tag team at this point in WWE. I mean, they've wrestled a ton of teams. They've won a ton of titles. They've had a ton of great matches. Like, it just seems like from a real world point of view, like, that the undisputed tag team titles are, I'll say, more legitimate, for lack of a better word. But I think that that phrasing and that kind of title on a team just shines brighter, I think, if it's the Usos. and it's nothing against RK-Bro, but they are very much a thrown together tag team. You kind of like they're hot right now for sure, and they get big crowd pops, and you know, and WWE's running with that as they should. But you also get the sense that all right, but down the road though, this is Riddle versus Orton at some point. Whereas for the Usos, like they're a tag team, and so I think that title shines brighter with them. So I think it's a very much a possibility that they are the unified champions, and they hold those belts for a long time. Mike, what about you?
I agree with everything you just said, Zach. I like the idea of Roman Reigns kind of being like an evil dragon in a lair that wants to hoard gold, and that means
yes,
all the
yes.
belts. He's got both belts, and he wants the Usos to have both tag belts, and we'll sit in our lair and covet these things till the end of time. And you took the words out of my mouth with the thrown together aspect of RK-Bro. It's I think WWE does that. They throw teams together because they don't place a heavy emphasis on the tag division. So they end up creating whatever they can. RK-Bro is an exception in that, like you said, the crowd's really getting into them. And Orton, of all people, has turned up the charisma and seems tolerant of Matt Riddle, or Riddle, which I wouldn't have predicted a year ago. And it's working. And that's a pleasant surprise. But, yeah, as I watched tonight, I was thinking, like, Riddle's using Orton maneuvers, and, yeah, it is a matter of time before that finds some way to self-destruct. And that kind of makes me sad because they seem happy right now. And if when the team self-destructs, that means one of them won't be happy anymore. And I only want for RK-Bro to be happy. So, yeah, but that does feel like that's on the horizon.
Yeah, the good thing with that is, you know, there's heat in a turn, you know, because the babyface run has worked so well, you know, it's not going to be like Rhea Ripley turning on Liv Morgan, where it's like, okay, that happened, and blah blah on to the next thing. It's like this will matter, like this will resonate. There's heat in that turn at this point, but yeah, Ryan, I think. We're both with you, man. I think the Usos, this is for the Usos to take. Even if you take out the two losses that they've sustained, it just seems like it makes the most sense for them. Back to you.
My final question is, I don't know if you caught it tonight, but there was a DoorDash commercial where I guess now the WWE superstars are ordering DoorDash backstage, and they're even fighting over the orders. As you saw, Bianca Belair slap Sheamus on the hand for trying to steal her dinner. So do you think it's possible they took away the catering? Because that was one of the best things Talon had when they went to these TV tapings.
Yeah, I think if they took away catering, there'd be an uproar. No, I think that's just a, you know, just another high level, you know, WWE corporate partnership, sponsorship that hopefully the talent is getting some nice checks for. But no, I don't think they've gotten rid of catering. Mike?
Nope, catering is here to stay. I noticed the ad as well. I don't think it had quite the depth of the Nakamura and Boogs series of ads they did for the Toyota Tundra and the adventures they went on. But it felt the DoorDash deal felt like a lot more conventional of a commercial. The Nakamura Boogs thing stood out more to me as some even weirder crossover between, you know, marketing and pro wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Ryan, anything else for us tonight, man?
The only thing, I don't know if they had this commercial on, but I saw one for the new trading cards that came out last week, and for some reason, it seems like they saw those within like a day or two, so... And even like today, when I met with my insurance agent, he was talking about that I want trading card insurance. I didn't even bring up trading cards. So is there like a thing where everyone's buying these WWE trading cards now?
Well, I think, you know, trading cards in general have seen a bit of a rebirth, and so you see lots of like companies, AEW, WWE, and just others as well, trying to get in on that. So yeah, there is a kind of a resurgence of baseball cards, trading cards in general, and you know, WWE wants their piece of the pie, no doubt about it. Brian, thank you as always, man. Appreciate the call.
Okay, thanks. Thank you for taking the call.
Thanks for making it call. Yep. Thanks, man. All right. We will wrap up with 8:02. I apologize to everybody else that's on hold. my voice just cannot hold up too much longer. So I owe you all, and hold me to it. But we'll finish up here with 8:02. 8:02, state your name and where you're calling from tonight.
Oh, my, Zach. You're putting all the pressure on me. This is Nick from Brattleboro. Yeah. How you doing?
Doing good, Nick. I was thinking about you the other day. Like, man, we have not talked to Nick much on these shows lately.
Yeah, it's actually one of the things I was going to talk about. It's just WWE is just – it's, you know, you guys kind of said it today. It's just kind of blah, and I just – you know, it's kind of like I haven't had anything to say. It's just kind of –
Right, right.
It's not bad enough to dump on, but it's not good enough to be excited about. They're losing me, you know. And I mean, listen, I was WWWF back in the 70s when, you know, the local, you know, when, you know, Vince's dad was in it and Chief J Strongbow and all those, Tony Garea and, you know. And then I kind of left for a while, and then I came back, and then I left again, and then I came back about 5 years ago. But I don't know. They're just – it's blah. It's just, you know, it's like kind of – I just sit here and say, okay, I'm going to go to sleep. I'm just not going to – I can't deal with it.
Well, I'm glad you called tonight then, though.
Yeah. Well, no, I appreciate it. And when I heard it was you and Mike, I said, oh, I'll hang on the phone for a bit and – one thing I wanted to bring up is, I don't know if you heard Max McAfee dumped on the USFL.
I didn't hear that. Did he?
It was a little side comment, like the jokes that are, you know, I think it was Madcap Moss. He said, these jokes aren't as bad as the USFL or something like that.
I think it was when Pierce didn't have the contract to be signed for the Rousey Flair match, and McAfee said they're about as organized as the USFL.
Right.
That stood out to
I mean,
especially because there was a USFL ad during SmackDown, so I don't know how that's going to go over.
Well, and it's Fox. I mean, it's Fox and FS1. I mean, they're the ones who are pushing this. I think NBC's got a couple of games, but it's Fox. But the other thing with the announcing today was weird is you got McAfee and especially Cole going on about, oh, this is a huge loss for the Usos. Roman's going to be so pissed off. He's going to, you know, and then they go to the clip in the back and Roman's going, okay, well, you get him next time. You know, it was just like he was totally chill. I mean, he was acting like these are his kin and, okay, you lost a tough one and we'll go get him next time. It was, after all the buildup to have that come, I was like, did they not get the script?
Well, no, I that was notable, but I read that more as a, like, okay, they just messed this up, and not so much like Reigns' character, like, backing off. Like, to me, it just missed, and it was like a moment where they didn't have the tie straightened because it didn't match up. Like, Roman was kind of disappointed in him and, like, you know, head down, and it was clearly upset, but nothing came of it. And then he also told, you know, Jimmy and Jay to make sure that his name is not in anybody else's mouth, and we didn't really get to see a payoff on that either tonight. So yeah, I don't, that was odd, Mike. I mean, do you make anything of it other than just kind of an inconsistency with a pre-tape and what happened in the ring?
Yeah, I think there's that disconnect, like whether Roman is actually here for this or not. And so you lack this some sort of organic interaction. But to pull back a little bit, the bigger picture, the Bloodline story hasn't been as compelling as it once was. Like, at its peak in the, dare I mention, you know, the Thunderdome era, when Roman
how dare
was,
you? How dare you, Mike?
Roman was frightening then, and
yeah,
now he seemed like indifferent, leaning on displeased, but there was, it didn't feel like he was brooding or threatening the Usos' livelihood. He just sort of sat there, and it was Jay who did the talking. Like, Jay made a couple excuses, like, I almost had him, but I slipped up, and Roman just sat there. And I miss the brooding of how is he going to end my career,
or life,
with his political pull, right? And now he's just sort of sitting there, and he was,
yeah, was
more concerned,
like,
with. Go ahead.
Oh no, I'm just, I don't know if you remember those commercials. I was waiting for Roman to pull out a roll of Lifesavers. You know, oh, kid, you lost, but here, have a Lifesaver, and, you know.
Yep. Yeah, it lacks
Sorry
the intrigue that it once had. No, you're good.
Well, it's so sad. I think it's sad what's happened to Jay. I mean, he was on a rocket, and whether it was his brother coming back, and they kind of went more with the Usos at the team, but Jay lost all his character. Now he just stands in the ring, whereas before he kind of padded around, mm-hmm. and like he was at, you know, whereas Butch is supposed to be this beast unchained, Jay really looked like he was about ready to snap, and he would hunch shoulders, and he'd just be walking behind Roman, and, you know, but looking at Roman to make sure he got approval. I mean, it was some fabulous acting, quite frankly.
Yep. And
yeah,
for me,
it was.
For me, the peak of the whole deal was when, and I really liked everything that, all the work, Roman and Jay put in a ton of work to make that intriguing back then. And the high point for me was when Jimmy returned, and the first order of business was sort of trying to talk some sense into Jay behind Roman's back. And then it
right.
never really took off from there.
Yep.
And it could have exploded into something even better than what it was. And it was high quality already at that point. But so it's been a decline for me since then.
So I that's really interesting. And you're totally right. I kind of looked at that and went, you know, it's unfortunate, but I wonder if WWE kind of said to themselves, like, okay, wait a minute. Like, we can pull this type of thing off in a Thunderdome world, right? Where we don't have to worry about the fan experience, the fans. Like, it's easier to do that type of, like, nuanced acting, like, in that environment. And so they maybe incorrectly assume that, hey, like, okay, we just can't do this same kind of thing. Let's just pull them in line. I can see that argument, because you're like, you don't want to spend, you know, the time with your top stars backstage, right? You want them out in front of the crowd. So I wonder if that played into the pivot, because it was pretty drastic, like, where you saw regular kind of nuanced storytelling there, and then all of a sudden it stopped, and it kind of coincided with the audience coming back.
Yeah.
Yep. That has come up before, I think, talking with Wade Keller about this, and I sort of get it. But I also think it's not often that this company gets a storyline like that that people can really sink their teeth into. So
yeah.
I would find a way to keep it going. I know it doesn't work as well to have those segments like that. If for nothing else, I've been to enough of these shows to know you can't hear shit what they're talking backstage in a stadium full of people. But the bigger audience isn't in that stadium. It's in homes across the country.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. And the other thing, Zach, that you mentioned was you're kind of hiding them from the live audience who pay to come and see pro wrestlers. Well, you can always have them do the thing after the show, you know, the dark match after the live show concludes. So there's that. And I don't know. Those are my arguments for continuing on with intriguing storyline, because I don't know why you would go to something less intriguing, you know, because you have a live audience now. You know, maybe it's,
I mean,
I'm probably oversimplifying it, but.
Well, no, I don't think, I mean, if you think about it, a third of their show right now is either backstage segments or replays. And so why not give us a good backstage segment with Roman and the boys? I mean, you know, it's, I think the highlight of this whole story was that in the middle of the ring, where Roman is about is ready to kill Jimmy, and Jay succumbs to him. He exposes his neck. He says, "Yes, I'm yours. And that's in the middle of the ring. That's not, you know, backstage or anything. But you know, c'est la vie. You know, it is WWE. You know, what else can you expect? You know, I could bring up another topic.
Yes, absolutely, Nick.
I'm kind of sick and tired of whiny Lacey Evans. I think it's a shame that they're trying to tell this great redemption story with her, but they've got her dressed up like a stripper, getting ready to go on stage and take her pants off. they should have done 1 week with the, "Oh, my dad was terrible," and then transitioned into, "And then I joined the Marines and I got confidence," and then put her back out front. I mean, they've done 3 weeks now of this with her, "My life was so terrible." And listen, whatever the reality is, she seems to have come through it in flying colors, but for 3 weeks of television and dressed up like as she is, it's like ridiculous.
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought that up, because it was on my notes to make sure that we got to at some point. So, you know, I'm with you. Like, it seems like it, for a couple weeks, it was like teetering on the edge of a little too much, and this week it crossed that line for me. And I'm okay with the content, and, you know, the look is fine, I for me anyway. But I just don't know, Mike, if it's going to work. Like, I just don't – like, Lacey Evans is a babyface. They tried it all the way back to the Mae Young Classic, the first time she, you know, she worked for the company, and they tried it in NXT, and they tried it on the main roster a couple times. And it just – for whatever reason, it hasn't worked. And I think this has the potential to also not work because of what Nick's saying. It's a little much. And I guess that's my question to you, Mike. Will this work for Lacey Evans? Are we getting, you know, a made baby face here?
Well, there's three of us in this room who it's not working for. So I'll add my name to the list of Nick and Zach. Nick, Zach, and Mike, it's not working. So there's got to be more than just the three of us. It's
call
so
Wade.
Weird. Yeah, we got to see what Wade thinks. And I've never seen anything quite like this before. I mean, they're trying something new, and it really bothers me when people say, "Well, at least they're doing something different," because that doesn't mean it's effective. It is classic to have like a redemption story or an underdog story, or I came from nothing and then made something of myself, or the cards were stacked against me. But that she's gone into specifics about that, in her dad, in her sleeping conditions, in her clothing, and learning to put on makeup. I feel like but who asked for all of this information? Like, it's kind of a heavy offload 3 weeks in a row, and I don't know who was looking for that. And a problem, it's like when she does show up, it's like the audience is made via, and that isn't effective to me, you know? I don't know. I'm
you know,
careful here because I don't want to – I feel like this – like what she's describing is the truth or some close variant of the truth
mm-hmm.
of her background. And I'm not trying to downplay that, but I just, it feels like an exploitation
yeah.
to go in so much detail
oh.
in front of a big
totally.
Audience. And it's weird. I find the whole thing – quite strange.
Yeah,
well,
and the thing of it is,
really...
I think you're right. Real quick, I think you're right, Mike, in that it's strange, and I think it's going to be even stranger when the fans turn on that narrative. Like, you've poured your heart and soul out to this audience, and if they don't accept you, that's going to look bad. And then the other thing with this is like, you know. It's not Lacey Evans is not a new character. You know, she's been on WWE TV. She's done some awful things on WWE TV as Lacey Evans. And so it's like, you know, you're not just going to forget that. And Lacey Evans doesn't have like the credibility or tenure of like a Randy Orton, you know, who can kind of, you know, it's not the right thing for him either, but he can make a case for going heel babyface, you know, the way that he does, because he's, you know, he's a legacy guy. That's not Lacey Evans. And I think people are just going to see that other Lacey Evans when she shows up, and they're going to react in a not so friendly way is my guess. Nick, I talked over
yeah.
you there a little bit. Go ahead.
Oh no, that's fine. No, I was just trying to save your voice. It was like the first episode, so to speak, of this, you know, she started a thing, and then they threw up a bunch of photograph shots, and there was one in there of her in her Marine police, but it was kind of a close-up on her face, and her hair is slicked back, and she's got the aviator glasses, and she looks like a badass. I mean, and if I almost think that the crowd would accept her if she did, you know, 3 minutes of, I came from a rough life, my dad was a drunk, my mom took us and we ran all over the country, and then I joined the Marines and I found my soul, and I realized I lost that soul, a year ago, and I realized that I am, you know, a Marine. I mean, people would go nuts for that right now. You know, it was,
yeah.
you know,
yep.
I think, you know, and that picture of her just makes her look like a badass and makes you forget the floofy hair, Lacey Evans, Southern Belle. And it puts her in this different lane that I think would work for her.
And
yeah.
I can jump in there another second. Like Zach, you mentioned, in the short run she's had so far, she's done villainous things as Lacey Evans. And we've had 3 weeks of three video packages of her, and they have yet to address that. And it's
correct.
Not even
yep.
something that would take more than 10 seconds to say, I've had some transgressions in my past. I wasn't even sure about them at the time, but I damn sure am now. Those were wrong. It's something, you know, anything. And it's not that. They're in maybe classic WWE fashion, pretending like that never happened or that nobody will remember her heel background with the company. So there's that. And secondly, I don't know how many more weeks this is going to go on, but Nick said something earlier in the call about that we've done three of these vignettes. It would have been nice and more palatable if they're committed to doing these things, if it had like a film, a beginning, a middle, and an end, or three acts, where only the beginning was horrific. And then the middle was addressing the issue, and the third was triumph. And it's like every vignette has horrible things in it. And that just adds to the weirdness we talked about. Like, it's not one, I don't know, maybe they are telling it in sequence, but it's just a lot every week to hear, like, how crappy her life was. And it's strange.
Yeah. I agree. Nick, thank you. Any final words for us tonight,
it.
Man?
No, just go have some tea and honey.
I will. I really actually will. I appreciate it, man. And it's just good to talk to you again. Call again.
Yeah, good to talk to you too, man. You too, Mike.
All right.
See you, Nick.
All right. We will wrap up the caller portion of the show there. Mike, one last topic before we put a bow on this thing. Madcap Moss, just, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down. Where are you at on him now as a babyface? I chuckled at him tonight. I will admit.
I rewound his scene with Corbin three times. Specifically, I noticed details like this, but when he made his joke about Corbin's hair growing back, Corbin asked him to become his sidekick again, and Moss said, "That's about as likely as you growing a full head of hair." And then he laughed obnoxiously, and the part that really got me was when he noticed Corbin's angry face and then straightened up and forced himself to stop laughing, but the performance was that he was suppressing laughter and then resumed laughing. It was fantastic. That performance,
yeah,
in a vacuum, was really funny to me. Is he a good babyface? I don't think so, because it's still obnoxious. The joke isn't good. The suspenders are stupid.
Oh my God.
He's obnoxious. Yeah. He's slapping his ass in the ring. So I can't give a simple answer, because his performance is really strong. His commitment to the character is really strong, and I think he's doing exactly what they want. I just don't think what they want is the right thing.
I think that's well said. I mean, I really think that's well said. There are some entertaining parts of it. It's not, you know, it can be entertaining and bad at the same time. And I think that's the line that he's walking. It'll be interesting to see where he goes, but yeah, I'm with you. Like, I think they gotta, you know, less obnoxious. They gotta get rid of those suspenders. But when you see him perform the way that he is, you can see why, you know, they like what they have as a talent. I just don't think that they haven't found it with him yet. But I think there's something there. If they can dig a little bit deeper and find it. So, all right, we'll put a bow on it there before my voice completely goes away. Thank you guys for bearing with me. Mike, thanks so much for joining the show. It was a blast talking SmackDown with you, man. One more time with your plugs and your social media.
Yep. At the Mike Show 42, you can find me on Twitter. And for pwtorch.com, I write a weekly main event report. That's WWE main event, Raw's mid card, having two matches per week. And for every WWE premium live event, I write a report covering its kickoff show, and that gets posted around the time the main card gets underway. So you can find my reports there at pwtorch.com. Zach, I agree. It's been fun being on the show with you again. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, man. Always a blast. Wade will be on the VIP side of things, running down the show on the Wade Keller Hotline. So go VIP and check that out, pwtorch.com/govip. I'm Zach Haydorn. You can check out my weekly VIP audio show on the Canvas. That's rooted in discussing the art of wrestling. So we take a current event and dig into it from an artistic angle. So looking at the performance, the frame by frame inner workings of a match or a promo or a character. It's all art all the time. Last week, Frank Pediani and I broke down NXT 2.0 and talked about that show from an artistic perspective. So go VIP and check that out, pwtorch.com/goVIP. As a couple people mentioned on the show, our YouTube channel is back up and revamped and relaunched with new content every single day. Would love for you guys to head over there and check that out. You can find it on pwtorch.com or just search pwtorch in YouTube, and you'll find all the content from Wade, myself, Tyler Sage, and some new stuff on the horizon in the coming weeks as well. So would appreciate that. Follow us on Twitter at pwtorch. That's at pwtorch, and you can follow me on Twitter at zhaydorntorch. But thanks to all the callers, Mike. Thank you once again, and guys, we'll catch you next time.